What is going on, YouTube? Good evening, folks, and welcome to another episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. Sam, what a weekend we've had. What a weekend we've had. We've had Fest, we've been to the match for the first time in absolutely ages, we've had wins for both our teams. It's generally a pretty happy household, isn't it?
I'm delighted.
I know you're delighted. You've been in a very good mood for the last hour or so, I can tell you.
Honestly, might be one of the best weekends I've had in years.
It's been so good, honestly. We have to start.
With how good Spurs were?
We're coming to that. We will have to start with how good Fantasy Football Fest was on Friday. It was so good. Congratulations to Gianni and to Ed and to Mark and everybody that pulled that together and put in tons of effort to get that event live down in Waterloo on Friday night. We had a good time, didn't we? So good meeting the community.
We just basically didn't leave.
I think we were one of the last to go, actually, to be fair. And we were very close to missing our last train. There was a bit of a sprint going on through King's Cross.
He made me run for the train. And
you don't run for anything, by the way. Never mind trains.
I don't run for anything. Run for the train through King's Cross at gone midnight on Friday evening.
Yeah. What time do we get in? But we got in at a time which is unholy for us, frankly. In our mid-30s, it's unheard of.
I mean, it's not, I don't even know what time it was. And then, obviously, we had to get up early and go to Norwich the next day.
Yes, so absolutely, yeah.
It was very exciting, but it was brilliant. It was such a fantastic evening. It was, like Lee said, so nice to have so many from the community there. So nice to actually meet some other content creators that we've worked with a lot over
the last 18 months.
Like, we've done a lot of pods and stuff with the Experiment Boys, with Ted from Ted Talks FPL.
With
Harry, who's probably in. Like, and it was so lovely. I mean, we've met Harry before, but with the others, we hadn't met them face-to-face before. So it was so lovely to actually sit in a room and have conversations with people. And, you know,
how stressed was Gianni, by the way? And he will not mind me saying this, because we are both very good friends with Gianni. There's a side of Gianni I had not seen before. Batici was stressed.
It was when we got there, because obviously we got there early.
Military operation.
Yeah, and we got there early just to kind of, well, we were told to get there early, so we did.
Yeah,
and we were kind of there to help if needed, but not really weren't needed. They were so organised.
They were very organised, yes, very good.
Yeah, I think Gianni, until the debates finally started, and then I think he thought, right.
Yeah.
The quiz was good. Everybody enjoyed the quiz.
Excellent. It was great.
It was very Gianni answers, wasn't it? Lots of Chelsea and Italy in
there.
Basically,
if you didn't know the answer, write down Spinazzola or Jorginho, and you had a pretty good chance that you had an opportunity to get that
correct.
It was a fantastic evening.
Great.
It was really good.
Yeah, the boys will be doing another one again later on in the year or some stage during the course of this season. So if you didn't make it to this one, highly, highly recommend that you make it to the next one. The venue was fantastic. The people were great. I got a pack of cookies. Like, one of the girls from the community baked cookies and gave them out, and I was like, this is unbelievable. In fact, I should have found her name. I'll pop it in the on Instagram later. They're lovely. They're like football shapes. It was just such a nice evening.
So we went from that really nice evening to what can only be described as a fantastic day at Carrow Road on Saturday.
Yeah.
Where, I don't know about you, and anybody that went to a game over the weekend, let us know about it. Get in the comments if you're in the live chat. Tell us how you felt when you went to the games, because I have to tell you, I was a bit emotional at that game. I honestly was a bit emotional. I was sitting there, and Carrow Road was, what is it, 27,000, 28,000?
It was 27,023.
Yes, the stadium announcer was very specific not to forget the 23. And one of those was Delia, I'm absolutely sure of it. But it was rocking, and we were sitting, actually, I had tickets through work, it was a bit last minute, so I was sitting amongst the Norwich fans, I didn't care about that one iota. There was a load of yellow flags and green flags throughout the stadium. We were sitting in the Barclays end, weren't we, the Barclay, and any of you that know Carrow Road will know that that's a covered end in the upper tier. So the racket was it was so loud, the atmosphere, the Norwich fans were fantastic, but I think you could have been anywhere this weekend, because some of the games that we watched at the TV, watching the Spurs game, watching the Newcastle game at St James's Park, having the fans back in stands was incredible. I'm going to talk a bit later on about the impact on FPL, because we saw a lot of home wins this weekend. We'll talk about that in a bit. But just fans getting back, brilliant. And Norwich was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, as a neutral, as best a neutral as you probably had in that stand day, Norwich fans were incredible. The travelling Liverpool fans were incredible. The atmosphere was like nothing I've ever experienced. I mean, I've been to some massive, massive games, but I've never heard that. And we're given it was 27,000 people, so I'm used to double that. Like the way that the fans were, it was just fantastic. And yeah, it made such a difference. And I must admit, the whole weekend, just there was a real buzz around football again.
Absolutely buzzing going to that game.
Yeah.
And walking away from it and stuff. Yeah. And then just walking back through the town after, and everyone was in pretty good spirits. Despite most of obviously the city being yellow, everyone was in pretty good spirits. You had Liverpool fans sitting with Norwich fans. Just everybody just really happy to be back at a football stadium. And it was wonderful.
There was the Liverpool fans and the Norwich fans. They weren't.
No animosity. Not that I was expecting any, guys, you know what I mean? But still, just having a beer together. And it's so good to see.
It was lovely. So, and it was great. And then having fans back in stands on the TV, I mean, I must admit, when the Spurs game was on this afternoon, and
it panned out. Yeah.
And I thought, and I looked at that stadium and I thought, that's why we built that. Yeah. That stadium got built for that, not that moment, but those moments where huge games, fans all crammed in, flags waving, noise level off the scale. I'm here for it.
And we're going to talk about, obviously, we'll go, by the way, if you're new to FPL Family, I should probably set the scene. We don't just ramble about our weekends on here. We do talk some FPL.
So I've got the gap as well.
Come to you. Oh, that's fallen over. Yeah, but we're getting, we're fine.
We're having a set upgrade this week.
We've got a little setup. We're a little sofa coming, haven't we? So at the moment, we're on individual seats. So we're going to have a little sofa coming during the week. So we're having a bit of a change around here at FPL Family Towers. But what was I going to ask you about? I was going to ask you about the impact then on the games and FPL. And obviously, if you're new to the channel, we will go through game by game. We might cover all the games if we've got time, but we'll talk about the FPL impact, what our teams have done, how we've got on this week, both done pretty well, thankfully, what we're thinking about for next week, players on the radar, all that good stuff that you'd expect from an FPL Family live stream. And if you're new, by the way, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Very close to 20k. If we get over 20k subscribers live on air, that would be epic, guys. We'd love you to hit that subscribe button. And don't forget the like button if you're enjoying the stream, of course. But what I'd like your opinion on, Sam, is that home crowd factor, how much did it play into the results that we saw this weekend? Because we saw a lot of home wins. And the games that we saw, I mean, obviously the game that we went to was an away win, but I'll talk about Norwich's performance in a second because it's pretty good in bursts.
Oh, yeah.
But the ones that we watched on TV, Brentford, Spurs, Newcastle, Manchester United, very, very good performances. Not like the home team played well, and we'll talk about Newcastle and West Ham in a bit, because Newcastle played really well, but then dropped off massively. But they all either played well or started really, really well. So it must have had an impact on those teams.
You saw, I mean, from a Norwich perspective, you really saw it. The first,
they come out guns blazing, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah, well, the fans were electric. And then for the first 10 minutes, the players were. They were, they fed off of it. Like, you felt them in. And the Liverpool fans were drowned out by Norwich in those first 10 minutes. And you could see the team almost were as well. Liverpool started on the back foot as a result of the way Norwich played. Yeah. And you saw that across a number of games, not just Liverpool, but a number of the games across the weekend. And I think it really did have a big impact. And it's going to, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, it's going to lift the players having the fans back in the stands. But the fans themselves have waited 18 months.
Oh, yeah.
For this moment where, you know, I know sometimes they've been back and there's been 2,000 fans in some stadiums, and at some points during the season there's been fans, but there's not been any away fans, so you've not had the banter between the fans, which I absolutely enjoyed most in Norwich.
You actually, some of the stuff that I've heard over the last couple of days, either at Norwich or on the TV, I always think back to the fake crowd noises that were pumped through the broadcast last year.
Yeah.
And things like, you know, Harry Potter, he's stronger than you, at Jonjo Shelvey in the Newcastle game. You don't get that on the fake crowd noises. And I love it. And you just get the banter and the, honestly, the swearing and stuff when you get there. It's great.
Yeah, you're only seeing when you're winning, the Norwich fans are seeing the Liverpool fans. And I thought, you don't get that on Sky. And actually, you turned to me during the game, didn't you? And went, there was a rude chant that went out. And you went, wouldn't have got that on Sky.
Wouldn't have got that last year.
And actually, that's true. And I do think it had a massive impact. And we saw that in the number of home wins that we had this weekend.
So do you think then, just to, sorry to cut across, do you think going into and of course we're going to go game by game in a sec, but just on a sort of broader level, do you think going into next week then, so every team that played away in game week one is at home in game week two, I think I'm right in saying that, do you think that we're going to get some better performances from the likes of, I don't know, Southampton and, you know, Leeds might improve, you know, are Man City going to improve at home to Norwich? You'd expect so, right? And how might that affect our FPL thinking?
I mean, it should do, but the reality is, I think, you know, this weekend was always going to be the big moment, and then going into next weekend. But the fans going into those new home games next week will obviously have an impact in the same way that they did this weekend. But the players have already felt it, so it might do you know what I mean? Like, the players going into this week, whether they played at home with their fans or away with other people's fans, they felt that moment and they felt that love. So it won't be as big of a, oh my God, this is what it feels like to have fans back again. And there won't be, like, the debut players, they felt it already. So there maybe won't be quite the impact on the players, but there certainly will be from the fans, and the fans will really lift again, I think.
A couple of individual performances as well that I thought really fed off of the fans, and we'll talk about Paul Pogba in a second, because it looks as if at 7.5 million he's going to be going up in price once, if not twice, over the course of the week. And you know what it's like when a Manchester United player, particularly a superstar like Paul Pogba, goes off in FPL. You know, because of the global nature of the game, he's going to go up in price. So we'll talk about him as a maybe knee-jerk transfer this week. But he was just unplayable, right? He played out of his skin. And of course he's going to get the headlines, and of course Bruno is going to get the headlines. But there's a few players like Ollie Skip in your game, which we'll talk about, like McTominay in the United game, that just enabled those guys to go and do their thing. But listen, I'm getting far too into the detail of the games. We're going to talk through the games as we go. But before that, Sam, what do we have
Should
to
say
do?
Hello.
We have to say hello to a few people, because this is our first reaction stream of the new season. Of course, loads of content on the channel over the course of the summer. So thanks to everybody that's been tuning into the deep dives. If you've been tuning into Sam's team reveal videos with Becky and Kelly and Jules, if you tuned into any of the top picks or the latest draft videos, you in particular have put loads and loads of effort into the channel this summer. So absolutely brilliant, guys. Thank you for that.
It's been busy. It's been a busy summer.
Thank you for listening.
But it's been fun. I must admit, it's been really good fun. And it's, like you said at the beginning, we're so close to 20K now, which felt unachievable to me at the beginning of the summer to get to 20K by the start of this season. And so to be so close has been really, really nice.
Less than 100 subs, I think, to 20K. So if everybody listening, everybody watching today, if you're not subscribed, go hit that subscribe button. Would love to see 20K pop up
really
during the
show.
Of course you are, Sam, because we're going to talk
Football's
about Spurs
back.
In
Fans
just a
are
second.
Back. Yeah, but leave that aside. Even before today's game against Spurs, I've been on a bit of a high this weekend. I think Fest started
yes,
it in style.
Absolutely.
The games yesterday.
Well, we've been on holiday for a bit before Fest, haven't we? So, yeah.
Life is, yeah.
Weirdly enough, we're on holiday in the Norfolk / Norwich area. So we spent all of last week on holiday in Norfolk, in East Anglia, in the UK. Lovely part of the world. Drove back to London on Friday to go to Fest and drop the kids off, only to drive back to Norwich to go watch the game on Saturday. It's like, I've had enough
really
of sitting
well
in a car, right, going to Norwich over and over again for this week. Johnny Joslin is in. How are you doing, Johnny? As a Chelsea fan, for once in my life, I was happy seeing Spurs tonk City there. So
it's funny, again, so was my dad.
Yeah, the other half of your family very happy to see what was a fantastic Chelsea performance. And you talk about moments, I'll talk through the, obviously we'll talk about Pogba, the games, and the Bruno moments, of course, the Liverpool moments, the Son goal, everything. Moment of the weekend for me, and I have to say, I come across a real softy here, but again, I got a bit emotional watching a match today, this morning.
Are you alright?
I don't know if I am, actually. I'm so back in love with football right now. It's no, I'm not being, I am probably being a bit melodramatic. I'll put my drama queen tiara on in a minute, but last year, as you guys will know, that are regulars to tuning into FPL Family, there were some weeks where I was just like, oh, I'm finding this hard. Watching football, 90 minutes by 90 minutes by 90 minutes. And I have to say, and I'm going to shut up about it in a minute, going to a game, listening on the radio to the 3 o'clock games
was almost as good as being at the game. Almost, not quite, because obviously being in the game was amazing.
The drive to Norwich, listening to Five Live and the scores coming in on a batch of games at 3 p.m. was glorious.
Particularly at 1 minute past three when they went, we're going to Burnley, and we both went, oh God.
Sanchez's clean sheet is gone, we know
Burnley have scored, and we were like, oh, for and the air was blue. And then not just that, Lee had this habit in the car yesterday. We will say hello in a minute, but of going, but don't worry, that clean sheet's nailed. And then two seconds later, they go back to, it was the same with Everton, wasn't it? You went,
I said,
don't
Dean,
worry,
you won't concede.
I can't see Southampton scoring today. Literally within a second, not even a second had passed when the commentator went, and we're going to Everton.
You just knew that the first significant FPL moment of this season would be Sanchez, everyone's goalkeeper, losing his clean sheet. And by the way, having a mare. I watched him on Match of the Day. A disaster of a game in that game. I don't know how they won it. But his clean sheet going after 2 minutes was classic FPL.
It was brilliant.
It was classic FPL.
Brilliant stuff.
So yes,
say
it
hello.
All being back is brilliant. But you interrupted me. My moment, the one moment of my weekend, was young Shalabar scoring the third goal for Chelsea. Honestly, the guy, he picks the ball up sort of halfway inside, who do they play? Palace. Inside the Palace half. And the whole crowd goes, shoo. And he's like, we're 2-0 up. I might as well have a go. And he pings it past Gaeta. This is a kid that from the age of 8 years old has been playing, trying to work his way into Chelsea, been on loan, been here, been there, got his big start in the Premier League, scored a goal, not just that, but a clean sheet and a really good goal. The kid was just like, he just looked up and you could see him like tearing up and all the players around him. Honestly, there's some good things happening at Chelsea Football Club. They are favourites for the title, in my opinion, and they've got Big Rom coming in as well next week. They are looking very good indeed.
Don't
very
overlook
good.
The red half of Manchester would be my
own. Do not overlook those, I must admit. But Chelsea looking very good indeed. Peter Bevan is here. How are you doing, Peter? He says, how's TikTok? TikTok is going great, Peter.
Have you TikToked?
I've TikToked loads today. Anybody follow me on TikTok? I'd love your feedback. By the way, I know you have the Insta reactions on Instagram. Guess what we have over on TikTok? We have the TikTok take. The hashtag TikTok take. What are we saying? So instead of you can go and follow Sam on Instagram, instagram.com/FBLfamily, if you'd like Sam's reactions to the game. We do these kind of...
Nearly 10K, by the way, so please do.
Knee-jerk, kind of quick videos on Instagram Live about what you thought of the game. The Spurs one today is particularly good. I've started doing my own version of those, but on TikTok, called the TikTok Take.
Oh, my life.
I'm up to the dizzy heights of about 130 followers on TikTok. If you're not following me on TikTok... It is going to be interesting. I don't know what I'm doing. It's going to be a good laugh. Get over there and follow me. I'm not going to dance. Get off.
I did a dance on my Instagram video. Instagram reaction.
I bet you did. A little
Spurs
dance.
Just a little dance.
Scott Schrager is in. How are we doing, Scott? The OG. How are we doing, Scott? Liam Healy is in. Josh is in and moderating. Hey, Josh, how are we doing? Ah, the one, the only, Mr. Harry FPL Tips is in. Very nice to meet you and very nice to see you again.
And apologies to Harry
on Friday.
Harry went to the bar and brought me a drink on Friday evening, and I said, hold that thought, I've just got nipped to the loo. And then on the way back from the loo,
poor guy.
I bumped into the man, the myth, the legend that was Mark Southerns, and the two of us didn't have a chat for half an hour, when it suddenly occurred to me that Harry was still holding my drink.
Tips was holding your pint of Coke for about half an hour, bless him.
You came to
what
find
legend.
Me in the end, didn't you?
I was talking to him, having a chat with him for a bit, and I said, whose is that Coke? He went, it's Sam's. I said, you've been holding it for half an hour. I said, right, I marched over. I said, I know you're talking to Mark Southerns, but get over here and get your Coke off of Tips.
Sorry, Tips. Love you.
FBL Geordie is in.
Wasn't at the Chelsea game, by the way. Went to the cricket.
Oh, what?
Big mistake.
What? Tips.
Big mistake, Tips. Big mistake.
It went to Lords rather than to the Chelsea.
I don't really know what happened in the cricket. It might Goodness have been brilliant, me. But I don't think it was as brilliant as what was happening at Stamford Bridge.
All I know is Joe Root's doing well, but this is not about cricket. Keza FPL is in. Yo, guys. Hey, Keza. How are we doing? Sam G is in. Sam says, I took a punt on Mane and failed. Listen, he had a bit of a difficult game, actually.
We'll talk about him in a minute.
We'll talk. We absolutely will, because I think the conversation is now less Salah versus Mane. It's now Salah versus Jota and the thick end of 5 million. Because Jota would look very, very good. But of course, got substituted on the hour mark. Is going to share minutes with Firmino. More on that to come, I'm sure. Luke Daniels is in. Hey, Luke, how are we doing? Gaz is in. Gaz from our Patreon. How are we doing, Gaz? Nice to see you, mate. The Smiths, 1986, which I think is Azzy. How are we doing, mate? Very nice to see you. We've got Indra Deep Chowdhury is in. How are we doing, Indra Deep? Good to see you. Braveen is here. Harry Dawson is in. Harry says he got 108 points.
Nice.
With no Bruno, by the way. Ooh. So that's particularly good. Particularly good. Asad Ali is in. He or she is saying Dele Alli in next week. We'll talk about the Spurs performance. No FPL points for Ali this week.
I can't
but
stop smiling.
He played pretty well. He did put in a shift and did all right. So he did all right. Harry Clark says Joe Root has been incredible. Yep. He's done all right, actually,
Joe. I don't know who that is.
It's a cricketer, Sam.
Right, okay.
Just know he's a good England cricketer.
Well done, Joe.
Scored Rube. A couple of hundreds recently. That's all you need to know.
Great stuff.
Doing well done, Joe.
Well done, Joe.
Well done. We don't know anything about cricket. And Tendai Horton is in. How are we doing, Tendai? Nice to see you. Tony Terrell. Good to see some familiar names and faces
back
for another season. Where's guys, thank you so
TV?
Much.
Why is he not here to gloat about Bruno?
Well, I'm absolutely sure he'll be here, if not in the comments on the replay, because that Manchester United performance was very good indeed.
Scott should have enjoyed it.
Scott Reville is in. Reville is in. How are we doing? Andrew Yee, how are we doing? He said, I had Dele Alli. Well, listen, Andrew, I'm not saying a bad pick, because actually the Spurs fixtures going forward look pretty good. So now the decision is, what do you do? Is it stick or twist with Dele Alli, Andrew? I'd love to hear what you think in the live chat. He has since retracted that comment, by the way, in the live chat. So he's
obviously about Dele Alli?
He says, I have Dele Alli. I've commented on it and he's just now message retracted. So Andrew, he doesn't want any... Forget that I said that.
Well, he doesn't want people to know.
I think he doesn't want people to know.
Andrew, we've told everyone you've got Dele Alli.
I'm sorry, Andrew. It's out there, mate. You can't retract it.
It's out there.
Jai Mera is in, 85, with Trent captain. Well, that's unlucky. That is unlucky because Trent was a reasonable captain. Captain choice, I think, for this week. Liron Bard is here. Benjamin W96. Martin King. Abhishek is in. A whole host of you guys are in. So, guys, thank you very much for joining us here for another FPL Family live stream. We're here every Sunday, work and family and other holiday commitments permitting. We will be here Sunday, 8:30, reacting to every single game week that happens in FPL. So get onto that subscribe button, get onto the notify bell, and you'll see us every single week. A super chat from John Tyner. Thank you, John, for the super chat. Is Iheanacho a rotation risk? He only played 18 minutes. So, Sam, why don't we start with Leicester 1, Wolves 0. And to do that, I'm going to move from what is the Twitter page here. If you're not following us on Twitter, at FPL Family, same handle as Instagram. And on TikTok, by the way, at FPL Family. I'm going to keep getting the TikTok in there, Sam. It's going to keep going.
Oh, my life.
So I need to go to this page, and I need to go here. And then I need to go to the scores, and I need to look at Leicester 1, Wolves 0. For all the talk of Iheanacho, as John is suggesting, for all the talk of Harvey Barnes and other Leicester assets, because of his price, Jamie Vardy was somewhat overlooked. But I actually noticed in the Fantasy Football Scout members area just before I was coming on, he was top in the game week for shots, Jamie Vardy, with 6, narrowly edging out Dennis from Watford, Calvert-Lewin and Salah. So Vardy out there on 6 on his own for top for shots in the game week. So again, what do we expect from Vardy? We expect lots of shots. We expect him to be a bit of an XG breaker. Gets the winner in this game. Not in the bonus points, interestingly, Jamie Vardy, but again, is the match winner.
So
what are you saying about the Leicester performance? Oh, and I'm interested equally in what you thought of Wolves, because I must admit, I thought this might have been a bit of a hammering, Wolves going to the King Power, but they were reasonably well organised under the new manager and they weren't too bad.
No, they weren't. They weren't too bad. I think, and they were actually, it was unfortunate that Traore couldn't finish his dinner because they had a really good opportunity with him.
Well, do you know what? Traore, funny you should say that, he was top for XG underachievers this weekend. So actually, with a delta of 0.81, anybody that wants that in layman's terms, that means he was probably a bit unlucky, or as you suggested, wasteful in his chances. There actually was one particular chance, if I remember rightly, at 0-0, that had he taken it, was it at 0-0 or was it at 1-0?
I think it was 0-0. I think it was before they took the lead.
He could have broken the deadlock, couldn't he? Yeah.
I think so.
And he missed it, put it wide, and he should have scored. So yeah, Traore, top for XG underachievers. Bit wasteful.
Yeah, and I think the thing, going back to John's question, I won't own Iheanacho, not because I don't think he's a good player, because I think he had a great season last season particularly. But the Daka thing threw me totally because obviously last year we saw Iheanacho come in on the as a result of Harvey Barnes being out and injured. Well, Harvey Barnes is back. There were some comments from Rodgers about how he's not fully match fit and et cetera, in terms of, you know, is he going to be able to play 90 minutes every week at the moment?
Well, do you know, that's an interesting comment about Rodgers' comments there, because yes, he did say Barnes probably needs to get up to speed a bit. And I read them in the press conference on Twitter and I just think, that's difficult as a Barnes owner. Do I stick or twist? And I stuck with him. Okay, no FPL points. But in the same breath, Rodgers was in that press conference talking about how important Barnes was to the way that they attack Leicester. So from a Harvey Barnes owner perspective, my knee is not jerking too badly for Harvey Barnes at 7 million. I think I'm going to be sticking with him.
But I think with the forwards, what we've seen is obviously Leicester have got to compete on two fronts this season with the Europa League as well as the Premier League. They're going to want to be in contention again for Champions League football
absolutely
next season.
Right, yeah.
And therefore, with Jamie Vardy being 34, he's not going to be able to play 90 minutes on a Thursday, 90 minutes on a Sunday, week in, week out, through the season, depending upon how far they get, obviously, in the Europa League and the FA Cup, the League Cup, etc., etc., etc. So,
yeah.
Iheanacho and Dakar will have minutes, but my big question is, where are those minutes coming from? Are they Premier League minutes? Are they Europa League minutes? Are they Cup minutes? Where's the rotation coming? He will be rotated. There is no doubt that Iheanacho will be a rotation risk this time around. Now, you can own him on the basis that you accept that he's going to be rotated and you'll accept any points off the bench, but there will be some weeks potentially where he doesn't get any minutes because it's Dakar that comes on instead.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think from a Wolves perspective as well, in my head, I was thinking, okay, well, they're playing this. I thought to a lot of them in pre-season, I was thinking, okay, they're playing a fairly attacking-looking style of play.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing quite a high line defensively as well. And I did wonder whether Lager was kind of setting them up for a bit of a fall there. Maybe they were going into the Premier League season a bit naively, was my feeling. So to that end, that's one of the reasons I liked Harvey Barnes for game week 1. It's one of the reasons I like Spurs players for game week 2, because obviously they're up against Spurs next. But having watched Wolves in this game against Leicester, having seen how that game could have been different with Traore on the counter-attack, I don't know if it makes me more or less inclined to get Spurs. We'll talk about Spurs in a minute. But
also,
I don't see you steamrolling Wolves based on what I saw against Leicester.
No, but Leicester did give Wolves some opportunities. Defensively, they weren't very solid.
Sure.
Amati had an interesting game. He didn't look rock solid. Of course, they're going to have Vestergaard, so that will change anyway, probably. But I think that the Leicester defence allowed Wolves to attack maybe more than Spurs will, based upon what we saw from the Spurs defence today.
Sure. All right. Well, let's talk about that then, because Wolves' next opponents, they go home again. They go back to Molineux, and it's now Spurs' turn to travel. And Spurs, with what can only be described as a fantastic result against Man City today.
I'm so happy.
Let's talk about it, because what a great performance. Let me give my view before I know you're going to dive in. My view was you were great. You were great. And no, really good, because last year, that game finishes 1-1. If not, you lose it 2-1. And the reason that finishes 1-1 last season is because you go a goal up, Mourinho sits you back, you go ultra defensive, you have no out ball, you invite pressure on, they bring on a KDB, which is what they did, bring on some other goal threat, and they find a way. And Spurs lost so many points from winning positions last season by doing that. But what Nuno Espirito Santo did was actually, we got the shape right here. Man City are not really threatening. Okay, there were some hairy moments, but this is City. You expect there to be hairy moments.
Yeah. The hairy moments weren't... They were moments.
Yeah.
But I was never really scared.
No.
There was never a real moment where I was like, oh my, that was real close.
Last 15 to 20 minutes last season, you're like, you just can't watch because your goal's being peppered. Whereas today, and we'll talk about the City performance as well, because they were under par.
We'll talk about them in a minute.
Don't get me wrong, they were not good. Didn't look ready for the game. Too many... they badly need a focal point up front, and we'll talk about Mr. Kane in a minute. But I thought Spurs just played a really good shape. They had a game plan which was to sit, not deep, but just sit off of City a little bit and hit on the counter and know that they've got the pace of the front three. And I thought, okay, Son is going to get the headlines, absolutely, but I thought Bergwijn and Moura were equally good, and actually the movement of the front three was better because they're all dynamically moving in the same position, whereas last season you'd have Kane drop in and the other two, and that works, don't get me wrong, that works, but you can see that Espirito Santo is preparing, I think, for life without Harry Kane, and to do that he's got to have a front three that works in a different way. And that's what you were practicing today. It's clearly what you've been practicing in pre-season. Son led the line very, very well. But his two, what would you call them? His kind of lieutenants, if you like, he's sort of on either side, were moving the defence around as well. I was particularly impressed with, particularly unimpressed with how Ake and Mendy defended on that side. And I think it was Moura on that side. He and Son were switching and giving them all sorts of trouble. But again, and I'll stop rambling in a minute because I know you're dying to talk about your team.
I've been really quiet.
The headlines are all going to go to the Spurs front three, no doubt about it. Son's going to get the headlines. We'll talk about him. I think he's a great option in FPL. If you've got him, you absolutely stick. If you haven't got him like me, you've got to consider getting him in. For me, it'd be a hit, so it's very difficult. But how good, and this is where I'd like you to start with your analysis, how good were the middle two? Højbjerg, we've come to expect. tough tackling, aggression, leadership. He was good for a lot of different reasons. We've seen it before. Ollie Skip, talk to me about this guy. Fantastic at Norwich last season. Comes into a Spurs team, has to take a real step up. 60,000 people in the stadium. First home game of the season against the current champions. And he puts in a performance like that. I thought he was excellent.
Yeah.
Obviously not an FPL asset.
No.
I don't think.
No, but what he does do, and I said this on my Insta reaction, is that Ollie Skip himself, you're not going to buy from FPL.
No.
But what he did,
the impact on the team, right?
Yeah. Is he had an impact on both the attack and the defence. So he made, in my opinion, he made the attack better because in him and Højbjerg together, we had a pairing in the middle for the first time since the Dembele days, probably, where I genuinely trusted them both.
Yeah.
And you knew that both of them were going to be there. Not only that, Skip enabled Højbjerg to go on attack like he does for Denmark occasionally because they were aware of where each other were and what each other were doing. And Højbjerg was confident that Skip was going to cover for him. In turn, that also had a massive impact on the defence. This was the first Spurs performance I have watched in years. Absolutely years. Where I haven't been concerned about the defence.
We had a right back that can actually play, right? Tanganga, for all of... he gets a bit of a nosebleed, I think, when he gets in the final third of the pitch. So from an attacking perspective, I don't...
Yeah, but we don't need him
In a five, he doesn't work. But in a four, he's good. And actually, I thought he was going to have a difficult game, actually, because Grealish and Sterling played very well to start with. They came out of the box pretty quick. He could have got booked, Tanganga.
I probably should have.
And he probably should have been booked. And if the referee had kind of... he gave him a warning, and then I thought, next one, he's definitely in the book. And he'd done it again. I thought, that's it, he's booked, and now he's in trouble. And the ref kind of gave him a second final warning. You're
he got Lloris over, didn't
he? How many warnings do you want to give this kid? And then I think from then, he was like, right, I need to adapt my game.
Well,
and he did.
Nuno swapped him for a minute, didn't he? Swapped him with Sanchez for a minute.
Very good.
Gave him a breather. It's like, Sanchez, you go out there and cover that a minute. You come in and just be calm for a second. Calm down. But it was the first time. And when we were talking about a defence that was made up of Sanchez and Dier, two players, if you'd have said to me, beginning of last season, you're going to play Sanchez and Dier as your defensive centre-back pairing against Manchester City, I'd have gone, oh my God, I don't want to watch.
Yeah,
but
totally.
Actually, what happened in front was so good. And what was happening with Reguilón and with Tanganga, the back four were trustworthy. In fact, the only person who ever gave me a cause for concern in the whole back line was Lloris. When he had a moment where he nearly punched Fabinho in the head trying to clear the ball. Not Fabinho. That's the wrong one. But anyway, I think for me, I really enjoyed the game. I think going forward, we were in a nice position now. I really liked how calm everybody was calm. No one was panicking. Nuno was a delight.
I think there's been a change in... And by the way, Delia, thank you for the super chat. It's about Manchester United, about Pogba. So we'll come to that in just a second. But I think from what I've seen, and you will have seen more than me on YouTube and pre-season stuff, but from what I've seen, the camp seems happier. Despite all the Harry Kane hysteria, which you would absolutely understand if that was having an impact on the camp.
But it isn't.
But it seems that the Mourinho regime was not always a happy place for a lot of people. Nuno's come in and, all right, it's early days. He's still got to stamp his mark on the team. He needs to, you know, he's getting there without a doubt. But he's come in and just the fact he's not Mourinho, I think has meant a few players have gone, actually, I do want to actually play for this manager.
How many times did you ever hear Mourinho say in a post-match interview, I'm really proud of my team?
Yeah, I know. He's proud of himself, right? That's what it's all
never.
About.
It was never about them. And what I loved the passion that Nuno showed today, the quiet passion. And I think it bodes well going into the next few weeks. We've got three really nice fixtures coming up now.
So here's where I'd like you. So here's, everyone's going to be looking at Son now, right? Because of the match winner today. I actually think there could be a case for, given the fixtures, you could have a look at Mora, you could have a look at Bergwijn. What do you think, given your Spurs knowledge, is Son kind of a must-have for this three, or is this a bit knee-jerky based on... Because don't get me wrong, that was his first shot on target in that game. And before then, he was running down little alleyways, he wasn't really setting the game a lot. His movement was good, but he seemed a bit reluctant to shoot. He was playing okay in the game, but it wasn't until he got the goal, and then he got... confidence came, and then he played better after the goal. And actually, by the way, the goal... it's a good strike. He's curled it in the corner. It's a lovely strike. But Diaz kind of falls out of the way of it. Edison doesn't really make an effort for it. He shouldn't really be scoring from there. I'm just being devil's advocate here because a lot of the talk this week is going to be, you've got to get Son in. And people will be, I'm getting Son for a hit. And I'm trying to just rein that in a little bit with, well, yes, He was very good. But was it that City were bad? What's your view on Son, first of all?
I think you need to own Son.
Right.
Is my honest view. I think if Spurs can play... I don't think we were played at our best today. That's the first thing to say. I don't think that was the best Spurs performance that we're going to see this season. But it was exactly what we needed. And it came at a time where it's going to give them confidence going into the next few fixtures. Now, we've seen from the past couple of days that Wolves can concede goals, what Leicester scored against them. Watford, who we'll talk about them later, but they can concede goals because we saw that at the weekend. And then Crystal Palace, we've seen from the weekend that they can concede goals. So these are three clubs that will concede more goals more readily than Manchester City do. I think Son will be a great pick. It is difficult because he's expensive. It is going to be a hit for most people. There's conversations to be had about whether it's worth that. You could, in my view, try and go a bit cheaper, get one of the other guys. It looks like Bergwijn, Moura and Dele are going to be his preferred choices up top with Son. But obviously the Kane situation isn't resolved.
Okay. Well, let's have a quick look at the fixtures, courtesy of the Fantasy Football Scout fixture ticker. The fixtures that we are talking about from a Spurs perspective are as follows. It's that Wolves away game, home to Watford, away at Crystal Palace, before then it gets a bit more difficult against Chelsea and Arsenal. Those are the three you want him for, don't you? And actually, in game week three, if you look at the captaincy options for game week three, of course, Bruno's at home to Newcastle United. You've got Liverpool in a difficult away game there against Leeds. So is Son a captaincy option away at Crystal Palace? I think he is.
But again, I go back to, by then we're still probably not going to have any clear answers about what's happening with Kane, and our whole structure of our team will change. It's my one concern about you go Son, you're safe. Whatever happens, you're safe.
Yeah.
You go Moura, you go Bergwijn, you go Dele. There is some risk involved in doing that, depending upon what happens with Kane. If Kane goes, no risk. If Kane stays, a little bit of risk. I would be looking at Reguilón, though, honestly, for those three fixtures.
Okay.
I think we look defensively solid today. We've skipped in there with Højbjerg. Clean sheets, there's potential there. But attacking-wise, he was getting into some really nice positions today and against defenders that aren't as good as Diaz and who else was on that side?
Cancelo,
he'll get joy down that wing.
Okay. All right, let's go back to a super chat from a friend of yours that you met at Fantasy Football Fest, Sam. This is Delia.
Delia made the cookies.
This is Delia, who, thank you for the super chat, Delia. She says, should I get Pogba or calm the FOMO? So is it a bit knee-jerky to get Pogba? I currently have Gundogan and he won't get back too soon. Yes, just as we were coming on, I don't know if you saw that. Looks as if Gundogan might have broken a collarbone or something, which is what our son did. I'm pretty sure that Gundogan will have better physios than Max. But a bit of a collarbone injury for Gundo. So Gundogan owners will be looking, probably, to move him on. And Delia would like to know whether Pogba is an option. She says, cheers and lovely meeting you at FPL Fest, especially you, Sam.
She gave me some cookies. And they're lovely.
Delia, it was absolutely smashing to see you at Fantasy Football Fest. Really, really nice to meet you.
Do you know what was really nice? Just going back to Fest for 1 minute. If you're a lady watching this, normally when we go to FPL meets, there's not very many of us in the room. There was a lot of women at Fantasy Football Fest. There was a lot of them. And it was so nice to speak to other FPL-loving ladies. Anyway, that's an aside.
So the answer to Delia's question, yeah, she's got Gundogan, she's got a problem. Is Pogba the answer? 7.5 in the game.
Is Pogba the answer to everyone's problem?
He won't be 7.5. I think he's 7.5. 7.5 won't be Pogba's price for much longer. He was third for BPS overall, by the way, this week with four assists. Four assists, but not only four assists, Sam, but an absolute worldie of a performance. I watched it on Match Today. He was fantastic.
He was fantastic, but it's Pogba.
Is it one of the... And I feel similarly, and United fans will grill me for this, I'm sure, but I feel the same as you. Is this a Pogba first game back in front of the fans? I'm caught up in the hype. You know, is it a bit like, well, next game we could sort of regress?
Where have they got to go?
Well, let's have a look at the fixture. I'm glad you asked, Sam, because I've got this game week two fixtures thing set up here. Manchester United, oh goodness me, away at Southampton, who also looked crap, and then away at Wolves and home to Newcastle.
Pogba want to go to Southampton? So this is my thing with Pogba, isn't it? Like, at Old Trafford, it was phenomenal atmosphere there yesterday. It was absolutely phenomenal. So he was up for it. He was loving his life. If it rains in Southampton next week, is Pogba turning up?
That is my concern. It's the consistency, isn't it?
Yeah. Whereas...
But with those fixtures...
But Greenwood...
Yeah, I know. But, it's good as well.
But Greenwood was really good. Like, so this is my thing, is I thought Greenwood had a really good game and didn't get as many... Didn't get as much publicity because Pogba and Bruno went nuts.
Can we just put this to bed very quickly? You need to have Bruno in your team, don't you?
Yes.
Yes. I think both of us said all summer, and certainly I don't remember doing a single draft without him.
No drafts.
And there was a load of rhetoric, even at Fest on deadline day, about...
They were debating it.
They were debating on stage about Bruno or Bru Yes or whatever, and I was just like, why would you not have this guy? He's unbelievable. But still, there were, you know, people will have had their reasons for not having Bruno. But if you don't have him, you've got to think of a way to engineer him in now, don't you?
Well, interestingly, Sam was chatting in the Slack earlier, the other Sam. And he doesn't have him. But in place of him, he had Son and two other guys who did really well. Got a Greenwood and somebody else. And actually, the points sort of...
netted out,
yeah,
more or less.
But the reality is, moving forward...
He's the captaincy, though, isn't he? It's the captaincy option.
Uh-huh. Across the course of the season, I don't think you're going to be able to go without Bruno. And my concern for non-Bruno owners right now is that you said Pogba will go up this week, he 100% will, but so will Bruno. And at some point, he's going to hit 12.5. And then you've got to find 12.5 for Bruno, 12.5 for Salah, 12.5 for Kane, although he might take a price drop. So let's just see. But I think if you don't have Bruno, eventually you're going to want him. So.
And just as a slight aside here, and I appreciate we're up 46 minutes already, so we don't have too much time for too many asides, but... what I particularly liked across all games, actually, this weekend, and it was in practice in the Manchester United game, I think it was Bruno's third goal, the hat-trick goal, where the ball came through, presumably from Pogba, and there was a bit of debate over whether he'd be offside or onside.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it does appear, and this is only one game week, so let's not go too overboard, but it does appear like they've changed the rules enough to give the benefit of the doubt to the forward. That is what we want to see. That is absolutely what we want to see. So Bruno Fernandes was probably, when they showed the lines later on in the post-match, he was probably level. And last year, what would have happened was we've got the purple screen of death, we'd have had the pixel-thin lines out, and we'd all been sitting there for 5 minutes discussing whether it was offside or onside. Mm-hmm. What it appears they're doing now is the lines are a little bit thicker, and if they in any way overlap, then the benefit of the doubt is given to the forward. That's what we want to see. And we're going to see more goals from players that play on the shoulder of defenders, aren't we? Those that like to play that, you know, very, almost kind of like play a bit of a game of chicken with the line there, with that offside line, that offside trap. We're going to see more goals from those, aren't we?
Yeah, and Manchester United have added to their attacking threat with Sancho. And I know that a lot of the rhetoric was about the lack of penalties potentially this season because of the rule changes there. But I think everything points to the fact that Bruno is going to have another amazing season. And I totally get what you're saying about Chelsea, because I equally think Chelsea will be up there in the title hunt. But I think Manchester United are serious title contenders this year. The squad that they have...
But they should be.
The players that they've brought in with Varane, with Sancho, they... you can't not have Bruno.
Yeah. They should be title contenders, no doubt. And I think that they will be. And the fixtures look very, very good for them over the next few weeks.
And on another week, Luke Shaw gets 7. It just ailing.
Well, this is one not to worry about, in my opinion. Yeah. I don't know whether you'd agree.
Don't panic.
But Luke Shaw, not Luke Shaw, the other Luke, ailing. How many times out of 100 is he... I mean, what's the XG on that goal? The XG on that goal is very low, right? I mean, as an ailing owner, don't get me wrong, I'm happy I benched him, right? But I'm happy that he scored, because now people will be looking at him. But, on another day, he doesn't score that. Luke Shaw gets 6 points, maybe 7, and everything's well in the world. The fact that Shaw only got 1 point is not cause for concern, I would suggest. You certainly should not be selling Luke Shaw. A quick word on the Leeds then. Any Leeds assets that stood out? I mean, Rafinha was very popular, is still very popular in the game.
Did he have a great game, did he?
Not great. Got booked. Missed the sitter towards the end, though, which would have changed the rhetoric around his ownership a little bit. The way that we were... because we were listening to this game, weren't we, on the way up to Norwich.
We watched the first half, listened to the second on the
listening
drive.
To the game. And actually, weirdly, it's going to sound very old school, isn't it? Listening to the game... obviously, when you listen to it on the radio, the commentators have to be more descriptive about what's going on the pitch.
Yeah.
So, therefore, I'm listening a bit more intently about, you know, what's actually happening. I'm starting to visualise it. And there was a bit of rhetoric on the radio about the fact that, you know, Rafinha and Ayling were a little bit at fault for one of the goals, and they had a bit of a row, and maybe Bielsa was having a bit of a go at Rafinha for not tracking back. So I wonder whether there's a bit of a luxury player about Rafinha. I'm not in any way saying he's a bad pick, because on his day, you know what he can do, right? But in that game, I wonder whether he just had a bit of a bad start to his season. Can he turn it around? I think he can. He's a good enough player.
I think he'll be fine. Yeah. I just think that it was a really tough game against a United team that basically had 13 men with the crowd the way they were at Old Trafford at the weekend.
And phenomenal, wasn't it? Loved it.
And I think, you know, that Leeds put up a performance, but they were outdone by the quality that Manchester United had. Going into next week, home fixture for Leeds, it will be a different affair. They will play better.
I think it sums it up. Let's go to Chelsea then. Chelsea 3, talking of title contenders. Chelsea 3, Crystal Palace 0.
I thought Crystal Palace were going to play possession football and attack.
Well,
what Vieira promised.
The thing with Crystal Palace is they are very much a team in transition. How many new names were on that team sheet in that squad that game with, that obviously at the game? And obviously the new manager as well is going to take time, right? Whereas Chelsea came along with, you know, they've got players still to come in. Obviously, got Lukaku still to come in.
Oh,
Chilwell
scary.
Didn't play. There's a bunch of players that were still to come into that team. Havertz was benched, given that he played 120 minutes in the Super Cup. So, by no means a Chelsea B team. But what I'm saying is that Chelsea's strength in depth now is on a different level, quite frankly. Alonso, we're doing what Alonso does, which is banging in a free kick, which was absolutely wondrous to see, reminiscent of seasons gone by.
Normally does that against Spurs, by the way.
Normally scores against Spurs. Pulisic come into the party as well, and there's that Chalobah goal that I mentioned a bit early on, where the kid was emotional. I thought it was a brilliant goal. I don't want to talk too much about Palace, because I don't think there's too much to say. Chelsea, though, the fixtures coming up, let's just have a look at those, if I can bring up the game week 2 onwards fixtures. They are rock bottom right now. It's Arsenal, Liverpool, Villa, Spurs, Man City. So
Arsenal's
not
a tough game based on what we saw on Friday night.
Well, this is it. This is it now, isn't it? And I wonder whether, I mean, obviously Liverpool is. Villa, I don't know. We'll wait to see how Villa gel over the next couple of weeks. Spurs away, City. Let's not put too fine a point on it. The fixtures look difficult for Chelsea over the next 5 or 6.
On paper they do. But
so you're investing now. Are you thinking of investing? Going there?
I think you can invest in the Chelsea forward line.
Okay.
Comfortably invest in the Chelsea forward line.
All right.
Because based upon that Arsenal performance on Friday evening, I know that they were without their two of their key players in Lacazette and Aubameyang, but there's no reason to think that Chelsea can't score against them. Liverpool's tough. That will be difficult to score against Liverpool. Villa look like they're all at sea defensively on the back of not having John Terry coaching them anymore. So that's problematic. And I think Chelsea can score against them. Then it's Spurs. Well, that anything can happen. It's a derby. And then I forget who's next.
City.
And we've seen that they're not necessarily at full strength yet. So I think you can... I wouldn't go with the Chelsea defence right now, because I think those other teams can score too. And I don't think Chelsea are going to score loads of goals in these games.
Okay.
But you could see them scoring 1-2.
So who are you thinking then? Where might you go? Is it Mason Mount? Is he a safe pick? Or does Havertz come to the party for you next week?
Havertz? Absolutely. Could easily
Is Lukaku too expensive at 11.5?
No. I think they've priced him spot on.
God blimey, really?
I said to you, didn't I? There's only one price point they can give him, because he can't go in at the same price as Kane. There's got to be a difference, because Lukaku hasn't done it in the Premier League yet.
Mm.
By the way, I think he will this time, but he hasn't done it yet. But he's got to go in more than Jamie Vardy, because he's going into that Chelsea team. So the reality was, Vardy's 10.5, Kane's 12.5. He's got to go in at 11.5. I think they're spot on. I think it's spot on.
All right, well, there we go. So Chelsea...
yeah, Lukaku. If you want to go big, go Lukaku. Otherwise, I'd just go Mount. He's nicely priced.
Got the assist.
Gundogan's
on set
an
pieces.
Easy swap to him as well.
Gundogan to Mount.
Easy.
Interesting. And not many will do that, I think, because they'll take one look at those fixtures and say, on paper, they look hard. But your argument is, actually, Arsenal ain't that bad a fixture, quite frankly, right now.
Look at what happened this week
and
base them on that, on those.
All right, so Chelsea, absolutely investable. Liverpool, absolutely investable as well. Going away to Norwich, a game that we went to. Jota opening the scoring. Let's have this discussion then about Jota versus Tsimikas then. So a lot of FPL managers are on Salah and Trent Alexander-Arnold already. And I don't think, based on what we saw at the weekend, there is any case whatsoever to sell either of those two. Particularly with Burnley at home coming up next. Salah second overall for BPS in the game week. Obviously second only to Bruno. Salah with the 50 BPS, so looking very, very good. I just want to see where, if Trent came in anywhere in the defenders, actually didn't, no. So Trent, a solid six-pointer though for Trent. And in a game
I feel
where...
like I'm locked in today with all these mics.
Oh, I can't be much about it. I can't change the camera or the mic. So you have to get over your claustrophobia, I'm afraid.
Just fidget.
But as the third Liverpool slot, which given the fixtures coming up, looks like a good strategy to have.
Yeah.
You're on Tsimikas, I'm on Tsimikas. Jota gets the goal, but only plays 60 minutes. How are you feeling about this third Liverpool player dynamic? Or is it somebody else?
I'm not changing from my three. I must admit, I sat there and I watched that game. And actually, I loved it, that game, because I was also watching Billy Gilmore. And I'm watching these three, and I'm watching Jota. And don't get me wrong, I thought Diego Jota had a good game. I thought he had a good game. But I thought Firmino had a really good game when he came on. He moved the...
Was that because Norwich were tiring, though?
It absolutely could have been. But Firmino did what I always see Firmino do. Not necessarily from an FPL perspective, so don't go and buy Firmino. But he moves the play around so well. And it opens up the space. And yes, Norwich were getting tired. But Firmino was just in all the right places, doing all the right
things.
Do you know what?
You don't see that until you actually go and see him play.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
When you watch Firmino live at a football stadium, the guy's movement is on a different level. I've just never seen anything like it.
He reads the game so well.
You can see why Salah and Mane have get all the headlines over the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years, because the way that Firmino moves is ridiculous. But interestingly, Jota is starting to do that. Jota is starting to become the heir to the throne, isn't he, from a Firmino perspective. They're going to share more minutes than they did last season, I think.
Yes, but that puts me off Jota. Because we saw him go off bang on 60 minutes, to the point where I had to get my phone out and check.
Is he going to get the two extra points?
Because Lee said, what time is it? Is it 60? And I was like, I feel like we're still in the 50s. And it was bang on 60 as he walked off the pitch. And I thought, Klopp, you've done an FPL favour there. But actually, in my opinion... I would rather invest, for now anyway, while Tsimikas is guaranteed the game time and the fixtures look clean sheetable and the kids on corners, and they were excellent corners that he was putting in. So his route to points is definitely there. I'd rather stick with him because I can budget across the rest of my team better with a four than I can with Jota. So I liked Jota. I thought he was great. The sharing minutes really puts me off.
Yeah, Tsimikas, I thought, played actually pretty well.
Really good.
He did well.
He did get really tired, and good old Milner came in to help him out.
Well, do you know what? That was fascinating watching that play out, wasn't it? Because Tsimikas was all action. And of course, in a Liverpool team where you have to be high energy the whole game, there's no doubt that on 70-ish minutes, Tsimikas faded. No doubt about
tired.
It. And he got done a couple of times. He should have got booked once. One led to a chance for...
Cantwell?
For Norwich, I think it was Cantwell, and I think Alisson had to pull out a bit of a worldie that came from a Tsimikas mistake. But for 70 minutes, he was very, very good. And you're right, on 70 minutes, you could see the intelligence of Milner to just drop back and cover with him and hold his hand a little bit through that. And at the end, you guys wouldn't have seen this on the TV, presumably, but at the stadium, the first person to go over and give Tsimikas a massive hug was Milner. So Tsimikas is very much under Milner's wing. Now, here's my slight problem with that. Is that Milner ain't going to play every game because he can't. He's fit enough to play 90 minutes in game week one. And while we've not got European football, maybe he gets some minutes. But you've got to think Thiago and Fabinho and Henderson are going to come back into that team. So where does Milner play?
But aren't they all big enough characters? Like, if Milner's not there, will Henderson not be the same?
Well, possibly.
Possibly.
But I'm just saying, that was something that I noticed at the game, was that Tsimikas was helped through the final 20 minutes by a very intelligent footballer. I'm not saying those other three aren't intelligent or any Liverpool player's not intelligent, but I'm just wondering whether for the first couple of weeks Tsimikas might start failing a bit towards the end of games. But do you know what? Actually, it doesn't matter, because in 3 or 4 or 5 weeks he's going to be out of there anyway and Robertson's going to come back. So for the short term, 4.0 on corners in a team which, apart from the Alisson save, we looked way calmer with Van Dijk and Alisson back. It's unbelievable how calm I feel watching Liverpool defend when Van Dijk is there. It's unbelievable.
He was brilliant, Van Dijk.
Oh, it's just so good.
Deserved his bonus,
it's so good.
Bonus point, I think. And he deserved
I think he did.
It.
Yeah, I think he did. Because actually, his pass completion rate was so good. So I think Tsimikas is fine.
I, my opinion is in 3-4 game weeks time when Robbo's back and you've got a spot, that's when you go Jota.
Yeah.
But for now, just enjoy the fact we've got a £4.0 million Liverpool defender who's keeping clean sheets.
Enjoy him. Absolutely. He's there to be enjoyed. So Liverpool looking good with good fixtures to go.
Before we move on from that one, just a little shout out for Rashica, who I thought was excellent for Norwich in that game.
Yeah.
Played the Buendia role really well. In a couple of more games, minutes under his belt, when he and Pukki's relationship is better and they really understand where each other are in the way that Pukki and Buendia did, he could be a good option.
Rashica, yeah, interesting that. Because again, I don't think I would have picked that up watching it on TV, but his movement off the ball and intelligence to get into good spaces was very good. I was impressed with that. There's a couple of opportunities. You're quite right. Pukki got in behind and he would shoot. And I think Alisson saved one near post, or one where Pukki blazed over, where actually, if he'd have got his head up and looked across, Rashica was there ready for the tap-in. So Rashica, I think, has already spoke to a few Norwich fans up there. They like him already. New signing, got a gel in the team, looks all right. Ones to maybe keep on the radar, potentially, although Norwich's fixtures do not get any easier after Liverpool.
Game week five, they really do.
Maybe.
And so Rashica could be a good option there.
Maybe. Let's talk about what I consider to be the game of the weekend. Newcastle 2, West Ham 4. Absolutely crazy game. It was like a game of basketball. It was you attack, we attack. It was crazy. How would you sum this up?
Excellent. Absolutely blimmin' excellent. What we've missed in football... Last year.
Fans, great stadium, great atmosphere, six goals, penalty misses, all sorts.
St. Maximin, with that assist for Callum Wilson to open the scoring.
Good.
Unbelievable stuff.
So can I, right, I'm going to dampen the St. Maximin
thing a bit. No, you're not. No. We'll not allow it. That kid is unbelievable. You can say what you want about anyone else.
I've got to say it. I've got to say, because I watched the game and I agree with you. For the first 20 to 30 minutes, when the adrenaline was running, the crowd was going, a bit like the Pogba situation, right?
Are you saying that St. Maximin is like Pogba?
The atmosphere in St. James's Park was incredible for that first half an hour, and he fed off it. He was incredible. And then they were 2-1 down or whatever it was, and the crowd quietened down a bit and he quietened down a bit. And I just wonder whether... I don't know whether he was just running on adrenaline or whatever. He had a really good game, don't get me wrong, but I'm not in any way thinking I want to get him in FPL.
I'm upset by you, to be honest.
You going to get him in FPL?
I'm thinking about it.
Shut up.
No, I genuinely am thinking about it. I thought Maximin was fantastic today.
He wasn't fantastic. I thought he was fantastic.
Good.
He was good.
I thought he and Callum Wilson together were great.
All right, okay. Talk to me about the rest of Newcastle and West Ham then. Let's talk about West Ham.
Thomas Suchek.
Yeah. Got his goal. What about Creswell, though, Antonio and Benrahma in particular, who was a bit of an FPL Twitter favourite coming into the season, actually, Benrahma. And quite a few. If you had Benrahma and Antonio, get in the chat, get in the comments. I want to know how that felt.
25 points between them.
25 points between the two players. Really, really good. I had Antonio. Despite the penalty miss, I thought he looked dangerous.
I did.
The fact that we have an already what I consider to be a very good FPL asset in Antonio.
And fit, importantly.
And fit. And taking penalties. For 7.5, he's an absolute must-have. Now, that's the question. Is he going to take the next one?
Probably not.
Is he going to take
the next one? They've got other penalty takers in that team, and he missed. So my guess is that he might not. But I'm sure we'll get word from Moyes at some point. I thought West Ham were great. I thought they started a bit more slowly, but then that was in part, I think you're right, what you were saying about the Newcastle fans. They really lifted the team in that opening 20, 30 minutes or so. West Ham came into it. The Creswell goal, obviously... A lot of people not going Creswell on the basis that you can save 0.5 and go Soufal on another day, another defence deals with that better. That ball
coming
in.
Yes, probably.
I don't know.
I must admit, I wasn't looking at West Ham and thinking defensively they were fantastic. There's probably some work they got to do there. But in attack, to go away from home and score four goals on the opening day is no mean feat.
Also thought that they didn't miss Lingard, and that's the most credit I can pay to them, really, in that game going forward. Because
Benrahma filled that hole pretty well, didn't he?
He did, because actually last season without Lingard, they weren't very good. They weren't as good. When Lingard arrived, they were significantly improved going forward. Today, you didn't notice that Lingard wasn't there. Benrahma did a great job. Antonio was lively. Not so much in the first half. I thought it was a quiet first half, but in the second half he played really well. And Suchek did what Suchek also can do, and maybe he's a nice cheap option as well.
All right, well, let's have a look at the West Ham fixtures going forward, because they're not too bad. It's Leicester away, Crystal Palace at home, Southampton, those two games look great. Crystal Palace and Southampton before Man U at home and then Leeds. So it does get a bit difficult for them from game week five, as we said in one of our... Sorry?
Europa League 2 as well. Then.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, so in the video, the deep dive video that I did for West Ham, that's when their European campaign kicks off, is game week 5. So the fixtures turn just as they get more of them, and they get more, they've got to travel as well, right? So could get a bit more difficult then, but certainly the next three game weeks look pretty good for Antonio and co. Let's go back to the main page. Let's go for one more game. Where else do we want to go?
Arsenal.
Yeah, we did need to talk about Watford and Villa, though, as well. Let's do Watford and Villa very quickly, because Ismail Assar was unplayable at times in that game. Very, very good. And I think what's clear to me from this game is that Villa still have a bit of way to go to gel. Or were Watford that good? What did you make of it?
It's hard, this one, because I think Watford were good. No doubt about that. The Watford fans were great, by the way. Finlay Bad, a great job. But I do think Aston Villa were lacking defensively. And a lot of the Villa fans have been talking pre-season about John Terry and the impact of John Terry leaving.
Yeah, sure.
And I thought it was more noticeable that they were defensively a bit... They were a little bit worse than they were last season. Last season, they were great defensively. This time around, they were on the back foot a lot of the time. Going forward, they have the tools in their arsenal to be excellent. They've got really, really quality players in attack. They've got Ings. They've got Watkins to come back. They've got Buendia. They've got Bailey. They'll be good going forward. They just need to make sure that they shore back up at the back. They've got the quality to do it.
Okay.
But Watford were fantastic.
Let's talk more about Watford then. Only 43 seconds, if you remember rightly. That is for people that have been on the FPL Family Channel for some time. And Watford were last in the league. There's people in the live chat saying, yes, we can talk about Watford, but only for 43 seconds. That was the time that we gave them. That was it.
They've remembered that.
That was it. We only ever gave them 43 seconds. My take on them, by the way, was that they were great. The movement between Sarr and Dennis. And to be honest, I'll be brutally honest with you, I didn't know a lot about Dennis coming into the week. So when he was in that lineup, I was like, okay, I'm interested to see what this kid can do. Fast, quick, tricky, difficult to play against. Got into good positions, had a good understanding with Ismail Assar, was very impressed with Cuco Hernandez when he came on as well. But no doubt about it, Assar was the star.
Obviously.
Very, very good indeed.
And he is the star in their attack. I'd be interested to see whether Dennis still plays when Josh King returns from his injury or not, because I was fully expecting it to be him until the press conference ruled him out for a few weeks. Let's see what happens. I think Watford were great. They've got a couple of more difficult games coming up now. Let's see how they manage those going away from home in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, all right. A super chat from Shakalaka Mecca Lekka.
Hey,
how Shakalaka. Are you doing, mate? Very nice to see you. St. Maximan absolutely rinsed Rice in game week one. What to do with Willock, though, is his question. So a very quick word on Willock. Full-time signing now from Newcastle. Was on loan back end of last season.
Much is Willock.
Scored something like six games in a row, didn't he, or something like that. So now he's signed for Newcastle permanently. The guys in the chat, I'm sure, will tell you how much Willock is. How are we feeling about Willock? A bit of a wait and see for me, I think.
I don't know. I thought there was enough in Newcastle today that will make me think that they'll be strengthened by his return. If he's cheap, then I'd go there. If he's more expensive, if he's 5.5, 6.
Great. The guys are saying 6.
I don't think that's too bad. He is going to compete with Ismail Assar, though, so...
All right, okay. So Willock and Rashica in Sam's draft for game week 2. Look forward to seeing those two.
Rashica from game week 5, along with the Pookie party, which is also scheduled to begin in game week 5.
God. Let's go all the way back to Friday, then, and very briefly talk about Brentford 2, Arsenal 0. Talk about coming into the Premier League with a bang. Absolutely sensational. Well, I did think, as soon as I saw the headline on the team news about Aubameyang and Lacazette being out with illness, whatever that means, Aubameyang being linked with Barcelona, but with those two out through illness, if I was in the Brentford dressing room, if I was a Brentford fan, I'd be looking at that going, here we go. If I wasn't up for it already, arguably their two best players are out. I am now bang up for this.
Brentford were excellent.
They were good. Talk to me about Canos. Talk to me about Mbeumo, who also played very, very well. Despite not being in the FPL points, Mbeumo playing that supporting striker role against Tony really, really well.
I talked about him a lot in
pre-season. 5.5 midfielder, right?
Yeah, I talked about him a lot in pre-season because he was one that very nearly made my team. But I wasn't brave enough to double up on Brentford. I didn't want Tony and Mbeumo. So I kind of was like, well, let's follow the crowd, go Tony. And no, I can go there easily enough if it's Mbeumo. I really rate him. I think he looks really, really good. He's one that is definitely sticking on my radar going into the rest of the season. And I thought Brentford were really good. Now, of course, it's the opening day fixture. It was at home, their first Premier League match, back in front of the fans against a big club. They were always going to be up for it. Let's see if they can continue that momentum going into game week two. From an Arsenal perspective, Smith Rowe, I thought, was the best player in the Arsenal team on that.
Oh, by a country mile.
Yeah, and so I'm not at all worried about him. I do have Ben White, who is a little bit of a concern because defensively, they looked at sea. But I think they'll be all right defensively once Tierney and White, once they all start working together. It's still not been that long since White arrived. Tierney was out for a long time last season through injury. I think Arsenal will be all right, but their fixtures aren't great. They've got Chelsea next. Defensively, they were a bit at sea.
Yeah, and I mean, interestingly, I'm also on Ben White, and I almost come into the season with Tierney. And as you mentioned, I thought, and you guys are saying it in the chat as well, Tierney did play well.
He was top
for chances created throughout the game week, by the way, Tierney, with six.
Someone's got to put him away, though.
Which was more than Pogba with five, actually, and then Richie, Fornals and Salah. There's loads of players with four, but Tierney, six chances created. So, again, that just shows you maybe when the Aubameyangs and the Lacazettes are back in the team, Tierney is a better option. But you're absolutely right. If we take a look at the Arsenal fixtures for the next two, you ain't going there, are you? Because they've got Chelsea and then Manchester City. Before they then play Norwich and Burnley, then it's the North London Derby, anything can happen. So for game week 4 and 5, it doesn't look too bad, but I don't think you could bring Arsenal in based on what we've seen and then Chelsea and Man City coming up.
No.
Are you bothered about Smith Rowe or Ben White, though? Are they going to be transfers out for you, or are they ones where you've just got to, you pick them, so ride it out?
No, Smith Rowe in particular, I think I'll just hold, even if he drops, because he's one that I want later on. I thought he showed enough. Ben White's an interesting one, because at 4.5, if he starts to look like he's going to drop in price, there are other 4.5s that really stood out this weekend, would be an easy switch. Plus, I've got some money in the bank as well.
That's the thing that would make me act, I think, if either one of them were looking to go down in price.
I think with Smith Rowe, if you're planning to keep him, it's not such a worry.
He looked really good. And it's just the dross around him. If anybody else comes at me with Pepe's a good FPL asset, I'm going to... Honestly, the guy is unbelievably bad. Smith Rowe is the only one in that Arsenal attack that even looked to be taking the game to Brentford.
And
even
was I looking up to score?
Only one that even looked comfortable on the ball, right? Honestly, there was nothing else about the Arsenal attack that I liked about it. And as usual, I'm afraid, Arsenal fans, here comes the circus again. The Arteta out. The Arsenal fan TV videos going viral. It feels a bit same old from an Arsenal perspective. For a team that has spent the thick end of 50 million on defenders and transfers this summer, it ain't good enough. It needs to improve.
And the next two fixtures are going to be tough for improving that.
Absolutely is. Absolutely. Before we look at our draft, Sam, or before we look at our teams and how we got on, quick shout out. And by the way, you need to, if you can, change the Zoom Patreon tier graphic, because we've got Mr. Jack Grealish there in his Aston Villa kit.
I'll do that for next week. We'll have a new set of new Patreon graphics for next week.
Because Rashford's injured. You've got Rodgers there. He can stay. But you're going to need to replace Grealish with somebody for me.
I might get rid of Rodgers and put Nuno, the new king of managers.
Oh, my God. Who's he going to be? He's going to be Tanganga, Lucas and Nuno Espirito Santo.
Well, no, I mean, we changed them up because I didn't want to have, like, just the big, like, Kane and Bruno and Salah like we always had before. But actually, after this week, we need a bit of sunshine in our lives.
Oh, goodness me. Really? Anyway, this is supposed to be me promoting our Patreon. So patreon.com/FPLfamily. We've had loads of new patrons over the last couple of weeks, guys, as we were leading up to game week one. So thank you so much if you've gone and checked us out over there and you've subscribed to our Patreon. We've got three different tiers, $3, $5 and $10. At the $3 tier, you get bonus podcasts from us every week on a Friday morning before the deadline hits. And you get access to our Slack chat community as well. We have our whole mini community over there with all people talking like-minded FPL stuff and tactics for the week, top picks, and we're in there as well discussing differentials, etc. So that's at the $3 tier. If you want to go for the $5 tier, you get that, but you also get entry to our Manager of the Month competition. So every month I track everybody's scores in a spreadsheet offline, and then I post in the Slack and on Patreon who's coming first, second and third for that game week. And if over the course of a month you come first, you'll win one at a great prize. If in the UK, you'll win one of our smashing kickingtheballs.com signed street signs or signed football shirts. And it's not just Liverpool and Spurs. There are loads of different other things that you can get signed on kickingtheballs.com, our sponsor for the UK prize. And if you're overseas, you will get a replica shirt of your choice. So if you're a Man United fan living in Singapore or whatever, we can make that happen. We can get a Manchester United shirt to you or any shirt of your choosing if you are our manager of the month at the $5 tier. If you want to go for the $10 tier, you get all of that good stuff that I mentioned, as well as access to Sam and I. So you get to talk to us one-to-one via Zoom about your team. And actually, we had a few Zoom calls already in the lead up to game week one with some of our Zoom tier patrons. But if you want to join us at that Zoom tier, we have two calls every year, one during the first wildcard period and one during the second wildcard period. And you can come call on us. You want to change your team up? You've got a big dilemma that you can't get your head around. You just can't get the answers you need on Twitter or Slack, then come and talk to us. We will have a one-to-one with you and we can talk to you. Or if you don't want to talk about FPL, we'll talk about something else. Absolutely fine. We've talked to just about football with one of the guys. I don't even want to talk about FPL at all. He just wanted to chat football with us, which was fantastic. So if you want to go check us out, patreon.com/FPL family. All the links are in the description below. So at the end of the stream, if you want to go and check us out over there, then we would love you to come and join us over on Patreon. So there we go, Sam. That is the Patreon piece done. Let's talk about our teams for this week. How did you get on? Very good indeed. 98 points. Talk us through it.
First game week one score that's been good. Ever.
Pretty good, right?
Like, how many years have I been playing? 14? Yeah. Whatever it is. Never have a good game week one.
Yeah.
This was a surprise. Yeah, I mean, there's a few in there that are a bit of a disappointment. I was expecting a bit more from Sanchez. Luca Dean's one that's on the chopping block, I've got to be honest, because, and I said
oh,
that...
Oh, come on. No, that's a knee jerk, isn't it?
No, not at all. I said it at Fest on Friday night. If you can't keep a clean sheet against Southampton, we've got a problem.
Yes, but the goal they conceded was a Michael Keane error. It wasn't.
But and they've Southampton... got Pickford in goal, and he's prone for an error. So,
well, don't pick Dean in game week one then, if you're worried about making mistakes.
Well, yeah, but equally, I kind of thought they've got the nicest fixtures, so it makes a lot of sense. But
so you're going to keep him then because of the nice fixtures?
I don't trust him anymore. That's my problem.
It's such a knee jerk out game.
We'll see. If he doesn't drop in price this week, okay, I'm going to keep him.
All right.
If he looks like he's going to drop in price this week, I'm going to swap him for Reguilón.
Reguilón?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Happy with my Liverpool defenders.
The Spurs hype is real in this house right now, guys.
The Spurs hype is life.
You're going to be treble Spurs next week, aren't you? Son, Reguilón and...
Delhi!
Oh my God. Oh,
I'm very happy to keep Luke Shaw. Wow. I thought he was just unlucky not to get anything in that game, to be honest. My big three in the middle, very happy with them.
Very
three.
Good, yes. The premium's coming through for you.
Yeah, the premium's absolutely deserving their premium price tag. Happy to keep Smith Rowe, as I've mentioned already. Tony, yeah, well, meh, fine, you can stay. And Antonio, very delighted with him. The bench, finally, is a bench where I haven't benched a load of points. Hurrah!
Yeah, and they're getting points. So I think one and two is exactly what you want from your bench, right? Billy Gilmore played a pretty good game at central defensive midfield for Norwich. Two-pointer. What more do you want? If you need him, he's there for the 2 points to come on. So he's fine as your 4.5 fifth midfielder.
And I also think, you know, I got Deeney on the basis we didn't really know what was happening at Watford. Eventually, when they do settle in and when Josh King is back, I'm just going to swap him over to King, probably.
Very good. All right, very good. Just noticed three bonus points for Antonio as well, despite the penalty miss.
Oh, thank you very much.
So there we go. Antonio, very much a good pick.
What'd I get? 98?
98. Happy so days. An overall rank, if you're bothered about it yet, guys, because my honest opinion is you wait 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks until you look at rank.
International break.
Don't worry about your rank. If you've had what you consider to be a bad game week and you don't like your overall, just don't worry about it. You've picked a team for a good reason, so you stick with it for a few weeks. Yeah. Don't knee-jerk any players in. Don't get Dele Alli in or whatever.
What? Dele Alli's going off next week.
Just stick with the squad that you've got and don't worry too much about your overall rank for a few weeks. So 98, very, very good. I'm in at 95, so no Son was the big difference. I had Danny Ings up front who got a bit jammy with that last-minute penalty. For non-Danny Ings owners, those are the ones you hate, right? Because it didn't really have an effect on the game. He just got a bit of a jammy last-minute penalty. But anyway, I will take the points. I'm not too upset about the ailing points. I was never going to play him at Old Trafford. So those 6 points that are on the bench, I can't blame myself for that. I was never going to play him. So it's Grealish is the letdown, really. Grealish is the letdown. Well, I'm not going to sell him ahead of Norwich, am I? He's playing Norwich at home next, and then they've got some reasonable fixtures after that.
And I thought he looked all right, actually, against Spurs. He was getting in some right positions, but the trouble is he didn't have anyone up top. And that is a big problem.
Yeah. I mean, when I picked Grealish in my game week one squad, I was thinking this is a bit of a bonus game. Spurs away is difficult, right? If he gets something on his debut, great. But really what I was looking at was, as a lot of Manchester City FPL manager owners will be doing, those that have got Mahrez and Torres and players like that, and Gundogan, a bit different now if you've got Gundogan with the injury, but if you've got a Mahrez or a Torres or a Grealish, you've got a stick, haven't you? It's Norwich at home next. I mean, for goodness sake, I can't sell Grealish now, can I?
No, particularly with KDB back. I think KDB suddenly, we were chatting in the car on the way down to Norwich on Saturday, and we were talking about premiums and how difficult it is to own lots of them. And how actually we've been quite lucky, because at the moment we haven't got a KDB or a Kane problem. Well, today we have got a KDB problem because he's back.
Yeah.
And when he came on, they looked a lot more dangerous. So it suddenly opens up that conversation again. And there's no budget for him in most people's teams. Plus we've got Lukaku coming into the game for game week two as well. It's difficult. But I think Grealish showed enough in that game that he's got enough going forward if City can finish their chances.
Just about for me. Just about. I think the rhetoric that was coming, the baggage that came with Grealish coming to game week one was that at Aston Villa, he was the talisman, the primary threat. Everything went through him. Whereas at City, he's part of a collective, right? And he has to do that kind of pressing that they require. He's being asked to do different things. The threat, he isn't the primary threat. He's just part of a collective threat. And that narrative very much played out during the game, because the threat from City was, of course, he was a threat, but so was Sterling, so was Mahrez, so was Torres. So he isn't the primary threat in the way that it was at Aston Villa. So I'm going to give him time. I picked him for a reason. One of those reasons was Norwich at home, home debut in front of the fans, game week two. I'm not going to sell him. I do feel like I'll be missing a trick with Son, though, because I do fear Son now. And I did fear Son coming into game week one. I remember, if you remember, I was saying all the way leading up to game week one, that I feared Tony a little bit, and I feared Jota and Greenwood a little bit, but I feel like I can get to them, right? My team is in such a state where
it's in the condition that it's in means you can easily move to that.
That's
place.
It, exactly. When I say such a state, that makes it sound like it's awful. It's not. It's where I want it to be in terms of flexibility.
Yeah.
If Tony or Grealish or Jota, if I wanted desperately and I felt absolutely I wanted one of those in, I could do it. But Son was the player that if I felt like I absolutely wanted him, it would mean a hit and a bit more surgery. And that's the problem I have, is that I think Son is going to go up in price this week. That's going to make him doubly difficult to get next week. But I have to, I think, stick to my guns with Grealish. Home to Norwich. If I take him out before home to Norwich,
is this,
I feel silly, right?
Going to be Kane Mark 2 from you last season?
Well, maybe. I don't know. But having picked Grealish and Barnes, particularly Grealish, I picked him for game week 2. There's no way I can take him out. And as I mentioned before, the hype right now about Spurs is absolutely real. No doubt, particularly in
mostly
this house.
Led by me.
Everyone is high on Spurs, and I get it, right? It was a good performance. But there was... He had a good game, Son, but I don't think... There was a lot of this, oh, he's world class. He did play well.
Sorry?
No, he played well, but first half he was ineffective, I thought.
What?
First half he was ineffective. Maybe I'm talking myself out, Son. I don't know.
You're asking to sleep in the shed.
Anyway, he's a lot of money for a player that's going to cost me a hit as well, so I'm probably not going to get him. In fact, I'm going to ask you this in a second. I don't think I'm going to make a transfer ahead of game week 2. I'm looking at it now. We're on the FPL show on Thursday, where we'll both talk about our transfers and strategy for game week 2 in a bit more detail. But I don't feel like I'm making a transfer here. I'm feeling like I'm rolling a transfer. Which was my strategy coming into game week 1, by the way.
Yeah.
Setting my team up, I thought, well, I'm setting it up for 2 or 3 weeks, including Grealish game week 2. So I'd be going well against my strategy if I took him out for Son. And by the way, if I do that, I've also got to get rid of somebody else I like, because I need 2 million from somewhere. So that's Danny Ings down to...
Tony. You basically got my team.
Something like that, yeah. Something like that, probably. I don't want to do that, because Ings looks all right. So,
gets jambly penalties in the last minute.
Probably not going to do it. What about you? Transfer for game week 2? What are you thinking?
Well, like you, my plan was to roll into game week 2 because my team is set and it was quite nice for game week 2. But I am going to be keeping a close eye on the price drops, because I have a strategy with Dean And if he's going to drop, I'll probably go early and lose him on the basis I don't want to lose 0.1 on him. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but my future transfer plans mean I can't afford for him to drop down 0.1.
Sure. All right. Well, there we go, guys. As I mentioned before, we will be on the FPL show this Thursday talking about what we are going to do ahead of game week 2. Here is our fancy new that you put together this afternoon, our fancy little check out our socials thing with this little graphic in the middle, which I absolutely love, by the way.
Although I've just noticed.
Go on. Is there a mistake?
No. It's not got TikTok on it.
Ah, come on. That's the most important social media as well that we're on. TikTok. We've got a lot of officials on there as well, I thought. Official FPL show, official FPL podcast.
Well, that's what it is.
It is what it is. There's no question. Yeah, no question. So, guys, we are on the show on Thursday. We're on the podcast this week, either one of us?
I don't know, actually.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
We better check that, I'd suggest. We better check.
I don't think we're on the podcast this week.
All right.
Because I haven't been told.
All right.
However, I might be told.
You might be told last minute. Who knows? But thanks to everybody that's tuning in to those podcasts. We've had a couple already this season. I think they're great fun. I was on with Jules Laron a couple of weeks ago. Really, really great. You were on, I think, last week or maybe the week before.
No, last week I recorded it live from Norfolk.
Live from Norfolk yesterday with the lovely Kelly Summers. So it was really good fun on the shows and podcasts, guys. So keep looking out for us on there. As usual, we're on all the usual social media, Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and Facebook. Still on Facebook?
Yes!
We're still on Facebook.
So I've got way more followers than you've got on TikToks.
Not for long. When I start busting out the moves on TikTok, that is going to go through the roof. I'm telling you, through the roof. If there's one thing, if there's two things we ask of you guys leaving the live stream, one is to hit that subscribe button. As I said, we are under 100 subscribers away from 20K. Would absolutely love to get to 20K before we get on the GFPL show on Thursday, before we get into game week 2. The second thing I ask is, go follow me on TikTok, because I want more TikTok followers than we've got on Facebook.
Don't forget, Jammy Pick video coming on Tuesday.
Oh yes, more videos on the channel.
And on Thursday, Game 2's top picks.
There we go, guys. So more FPL family goodness coming your way if you subscribe and hit the notification bell throughout the course of the week. Thank you for joining us. That was a long one, but I thought it was going to be a long one because we had a lot to talk about around Fest, fans coming back, loads to discuss. But to be honest with you, I've absolutely loved it because football's back. FPL's back. It's been a great game week for most FPL managers. Scores in the 100, scores in the 110 plus. Been very, very good. I look forward to putting together the Manager of the Month League for August to see all your wonderful high scores, guys. Thanks very much for joining us. Leave us a like before you go. We'll see you on Thursday for the FPL show. If not, back here Sunday night, 8:30 for a review and a look back at Game Week 2 and how our teams got on that weekend. Cheers, guys. See you soon.
Bye, guys.